Well, we are just at the end of this short legislative session, and to talk with us here on the day after the day, it is State Senator Drew McEwen. Drew, how are you doing?
I am good. Happy to be finished with the 60 days.
Gosh, I saw a post on your State Senator social media feed that you guys were up late into the night the other night, advocating and talking about bills. You expressed some dissatisfaction in what was coming through the House on some certain issues. Let's unpack that a little bit and talk about it.
Yeah, this revolves around House Bill 1589, which is concerning Puget Sound Energy and their move towards coming off of natural gas. And the bill is problematic in a number of ways. So it passed the House earlier in the session, came over to the Senate, and then was amended by the Senate. And what the bill essentially does is give statutory authority for PSE to transition away from natural gas. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, being able to not service consumers, both retail individuals and families, as well as businesses, and that then converting them to being all electric. And that in and of itself presents a number of issues because we don't have the electrical load to meet that demand yet. But what to me was one of the most troubling things in the whole bill was that it allowed for PSE to build new generating systems and subsequently raise rates on customers before those come online so that they can expedite the building of those. So it's going to force customers of PSE to pay higher rates sooner for stuff that isn't yet online. That, I mean, this to me was the ultimate corporate giveaway done by state government, and just horrendous. But the one of the bigger issues too in this was that, and we did a point of order in the Senate on this. The bill was horribly written, and we made a point of order. And this gets a little inside baseball on the legislative process, but you cannot present legislation that changes the RCWs by reference. You actually have to spell out what you're doing, and this bill failed to do that. And so we raised that point of order during debate, and the lieutenant governor, who presides over the Senate, he ruled in agreement with us that the bill was, in his words, a hot mess. So that took the bill down. They then spent another day rewriting it and then passed it off the floor. And I argued vehemently that now you have policy that people can sort of understand, and here we are passing it at the 11th hour, and that just is not fair to both ratepayers and the taxpayers of the state to have a major policy shift that's not really been vetted. But it was passed off the Senate, went back to the House. During that process, it was discovered there was still a portion of the bill that didn't meet that constitutionality requirement of not changing code by reference. The House, in my opinion, made a horrible miscarriage of the political process when they opted to not send it back to the Senate to fix it and just instead pass it off the House floor. And it passed with 50 votes, which is what's needed to pass a bill. That's one of the lowest vote totals I've ever seen on legislation. So yeah, very disappointed to see that go through. It is what it is at this point. I suspect it'll be litigated because one, it's a massive corporate giveaway by using ratepayer dollars, and two, it's not constitutionally written. But we'll see, and this will have a lasting impact, though, if this does hold on ratepayers of Puget Sound Energy. And again, just we'll continue to stress our electrical grid that is not ready to meet this increased demand. So that was a big disappointment this past week.
PSE serves about 1.1 million electric customers and over 900,000 natural gas customers in 10 counties across the Western Washington, primarily here in the Puget Sound region. But what I was also hearing, and some folks in the district who may not be PSE customers were becoming concerned about this as well, in the fact that it might impact how they are able to purchase new equipment. Is it natural gas compliant? Is it have to be electric? And some of the folks that I was talking to were saying, this is kind of screwing up my plans for, future restaurant stuff.
Yeah, it very well is because you don't have the certainty that you're going to have the natural gas supply at a future date. And you know, the some estimates that we got for the quote average home to be to convert from using natural gas going all electric is about $50,000. That's a huge sum. You know, and we continue to wonder why housing is not affordable in this state. And then you look on the business side, you know, just take the restaurant equation. For a restaurant to convert from natural gas to being all electric is easily north of $100,000, depending on the size of the restaurant. You know, and you've got a lot of restaurants that, I mean, those are people's life savings that they've poured into and they've put their heart and soul into building a business. I mean, that's just not economically feasible. And then a lot of instances, not cooking with natural gas for restaurants is very problematic to be able to run a business on just electric is just not feasible. So this bill was way premature with where we are energy wise in the state. And it sets in the motion while yes, this only affects PSC, it sets in the motion the ability to do this to, you know, in other areas of the state that may not be serviced by PSC.
You were able to hear some of the six initiatives that will be up that were signed by the, you know, the threshold there. You heard some of them, and it sounds like, as I was reading some reports from the Thurston County Sheriff and the Mason County Sheriff, that this police pursuit change is going to really help law enforcement's abilities to get back to them doing their daily duties.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the three initiatives we passed off were parental rights, and then banning an income tax, and then finally the vehicular pursuit and restoring the law to being, you know, that if an officer has reasonable suspicion or cause to think that a crime was or is being committed, they can pursue that car. And, you know, just it just blows me away that we even got to this point. And, you know, we saw crime skyrocket in this state, especially property crimes, because at the end of the day, law enforcement was not able to do their job, which is enforce the law. With this initiative now passing the legislature, it'll become law in 90 days, and it'll restore officers' ability and authority to be able to pursue, you know, suspects. And I mean, it's just, again, that we even had to get to that point just baffles me. But I'm glad we got it done. And, you know, for the law-abiding citizens of this state, amen.
What else are you proud about getting out of a session and signed by the governor? And what else that we haven't talked about are you concerned about that is perhaps heading towards the governor's desk?
Well, I think, you know, we'll end this on a high note that I'm real proud of the work that we being representatives, Griffin Couture and myself, that we did budget-wise. We've got a number of things, again, working for the 35th District. And, you know, specifically to the Mason County end of this equation, you know, we continue to get the Belfort Bypass Freight Corridor, whatever you want to call it today, you know, continuing to keep that on track. There was some finagling we needed to do there to keep projects on the right timeline and not have to redo environmental studies. So I'm very pleased with that. We also, I was able to secure $3 million for the extension of the Belfair sewer in, to go towards Bremerton. That'll be a positive for sewer ratepayers because as more customers come online, whether it be light industrial or residential, that adds to the rates that are being paid and help stabilize out the rates for those existing customers. So that project, you know, I mean, that thing's been going on for a long time, and, you know, we're finally getting to a spot where it's we're heading towards stabilizing that out, and that's a very good thing. You know, another big issue that PUDs across the region are dealing with is the fish culvert issue, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen, you know, with culverts being replaced to be able to accommodate salmon. This impacted PUDs in a lot of ways too, with having to relocate or retrench their supply lines, and they were $6 million short. I say it's a number of PUDs, including PUD 1 and 3 in Mason County, but also other PUDs throughout the state. And so we're able to get $1 million of that six into this supplemental budget, and so that's a positive there as well, because that's an issue that would adversely affect PUD ratepayers. So I'm glad we were able to put a dent into that number and keep that going. And then a safety issue that you know we see time and again, and was my predecessor, Senator Sheldon, spoke about often, is the issue on 101 there along Shelton between Wallace and Neyland and the Highway 3 interchange and that two-lane road there. Time again, we see incidences and oftentimes fatalities. That's it's very unfortunate. So continue to work to get money in there. We're about halfway there on getting the money that we're going to need to put in Jersey barriers. So when incidences do happen, at least we can prevent people from crossing the yellow line and having those head-on collisions that have taken way too many lives just in recent times. So those are a couple of highlights I'd like to just point out that I'm pleased with.
That's great. That's great, Drew. Well, it's been a short session, but no matter the length of it, it is always draining, I'm sure, for you representatives and senators there in Olympia. So get some rest and then you're on to the next thing. All right.
Sounds good. I appreciate the time. And it's an honor to serve the people of this district. Thanks for letting me have a voice with them.